Blog Talk Radio.
And live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it is Scary Cast for a beautiful, crazy Monday night. I'm Dr. John Stamey, glad to have everybody with us. We've got an excellent show tonight. First of all, our co-hosts, the Surgeon General of Scary Cast, who is on the road but with us, the one and only Dr. Trey Dunaway. Trey, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good, John. About 15 minutes from home, so I'm going to mute so you don't hear fire sounds driving in the car. But I'll be here, and just give me a second to unmute if you have anything to say that you want me to respond to.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And Kyler Smith from Houston, Texas, how are you doing tonight?
Nice and comfy. I just got the chance to sit down.
Well, that's good. We're glad because we got some scary stories tonight. We've got, as our guest, the Attorney General of Scary Cast, Marshall Biddle, that attorney from Conway, South Carolina. How are you doing tonight, Marshall?
I'm doing good, Dr. John. I appreciate the invite. This is becoming a regular occurrence. I don't know what to think.
Okay, we'll discuss it tomorrow. How about that? Because I'll come by and see you at your office, because I know we'll have a few things to talk about. But anyway, we're glad to have you. Marshall is a good friend, and Marshall has an amazing amount of stories. Some are paranormal. And tonight we're going to borrow a page from a brand new and newly minted podcast here on ScaryCast. It's called Growing Up Haunted. And the whole idea is that there are a lot of kids that have paranormal stories and ghost stories. There really are. So we're going to celebrate those on Growing Up Haunted. Also, we're going to talk to families who had strange and paranormal occurrences. And when I talked about this with a number of folks, they all said, well, this sounds great. And it's really an offshoot of Dr. Sally Rhinefeather's magnificent research that led to her book, The Gift, which was a New York Times bestseller. And it was a book about people's paranormal stories. So in honor of Dr. Sally Rhinefeather, who I'm going to try to find and get on the Growing Up Haunted, which is going to be scheduled for Thursday nights at 9 p.m., our witching hour here on Scary Cast. So we've got Marshall Biddle tonight because I drop by Marshall's office about 3 or 4 times a week. Sometimes he thinks it's 6 times in a 5-day period. But I drop by there and I said, Marshall, this is what we're going to be doing. I said, do you have any stories? He said, oh, my goodness, have I not told you about ... And he told me a really, really good story that is perfect for Growing Up Haunted. So right now I would like to turn the table, or what we would call it, turn the microphone over to Marshall Biddle to tell us a really creepy story about his childhood. Then we'll chat with him a little bit about it. Marshall, the floor is yours.
All right. I grew up in a home that was owned by my grandparents and then my parents, and it's the only home, it's the home I went to from, and my parents still live there, in downtown Conway. It was built in 1936, and, you know, it's a colonial, you know, home. I mean, there's nothing magical or, you know, anything about it other than it's just the home I grew up in. And, you know, I had never really considered, you know, the conversation that John told me about, you know, growing up haunted. And then it just popped into my mind that, you know, we had all of the bedrooms are up on the second floor of this home. It's got a big circular stairwell that goes up to the second floor, and then there's on one end of the house, there's two bedrooms with a bathroom in between. I think they called it a Jack and Jill suite. So, like, we shared a bathroom in between. As a matter of fact, and this is another story, we'll talk about this, John. There's a window in the chimney of the house from that bathroom. So it goes through the chimney in that room. So I'll take you up there sometime and we'll talk about that, but that's kind of a sideline. So, and my room was go up the stairs, the first room on the right, that was my room. My brother's room was on the other side of the bathroom. And then my sister was down at the other end of the hall. She always had a bigger bedroom and had her own bathroom. And, you know, that's kind of how girls do their thing. But from probably, I don't know, you know, 4 or 5 maybe years old, I just had this nightly experience. You know, I didn't grow up, we didn't have night lights. I mean, when we went to bed, we turned off the lights and, you know, you went to bed. There was none of this night light stuff. There was no bathroom lights left on and, you know, and so, you know, for a while there, it takes you, when the lights go out, you know, it takes you a minute to, for your eyes to adjust to the darkness. And for, gosh, I just say all my childhood, really, that I would have a vision of an elderly black lady come into heavy set, come into my room. She didn't open the door. She would just appear on the inside of my door. And then she would walk across and she'd look at me on my bed. And then she would continue away. And then she would go through the bathroom door, whether it was opened or closed. For the most part, I think I left it closed most of the time. So she would come in through the closed door, go through the closed door into the, and I assume she was just going in to check on my brother. But it was a very, I was not scared. I wasn't afraid. I, you know, it was almost a, and it just happened every single night. And I, you know, it was almost one of those things where I couldn't go to sleep until she appeared and kind of did that ritual. And then I always felt like she was a guardian, you know, that was watching over me and our family in that house. Was kind of, you know, my experience of that. So kind of a strange occurrence. I hadn't thought about it for years until John asked me about, you know, growing up haunted. And I'm not really haunted, but, you know, that's that story. So.
Well, okay, I've got, and Kyler and Dr. Trey, you're welcome to jump in. Marshall, I've got a couple of questions. Because this is actually the third interview that I've done for Growing Up Haunted. The first one was with Kevin Holland of The Walking Dead Season 10 when he was here this weekend, and he was kind enough to do a pilot for us. And it was, and it's up on Scarycast, like this one will be. Now, can you describe the clothing of this lady, the color, or what did she have on?
You know, I never really considered that. I mean, I guess she could have had on a maid outfit. I mean, we had a maid who was very similar looking to what I thought was, you know, this person, although I knew it wasn't her. We had a maid named Thelma that basically raised me. And so I would say that, you know, and I don't know whether it was my mind taking on that image as a caregiver, but I don't specifically recall any specifics about clothes or anything like that. But the typical, you know, black and white, you know, outfit that, you know, that maids wore in the 70s.
So it was likely a black and white outfit?
Yes.
Okay, now this is very strange because I had not mentioned this to you prior to it, prior to this interview, but Kevin Holland had three ghostly ladies that came to him whenever he played in the back room of his grandmother's house back there with the washer. And he said they were dressed in black and white. And
wow.
Then another gentleman who I'm going to have on the show in a couple of weeks, he played with a little Indian boy because they lived out in the woods in the western part of Virginia near a little town called Marion. Now, it's very strange. The little Indian boy came to play with him, but the little Indian boy had on black pants and a white shirt and a black tie. So now we've got three instances of ghostly apparitions to children with black and white clothing. What is going on? Question mark. I asked Robin McCray, because Robin has a lot of insight being a remote viewer and a psychic, frankly. And she said, you know, Don, I have no idea. I said, well, if you had two ghosts in your house, do you really remember what they had on when you saw them? And she said, no, but I'll think about it. And she's going to tell me tomorrow what her idea was. I was going to ask her tonight on the show, but her daughter is convalescing right now, had some emergency surgery, and she's doing fine, by the way.
Mm.
We're just glad she is.
Okay.
But yeah. So this is the third story that I've heard in 5 days of ghostly presence to children with black and white clothing on. Now, and Marshall, to kind of conclude the story, you said to me that you never discussed this with your brother until you – how old was your brother? If you were 4 years old, how old would your brother have been?
He would have been almost 8.
Okay, so when did you discuss this? Do what?
I don't know that I ever discussed it with him. You know, I had a conversation – I had a conversation with my sister about it, and she was blown away. She never said she ever considered that, but she was in disbelief that, you know, that as a small child, I would have a person that would come into my room without opening the door and exit my room without opening the door, and that I wouldn't freak out or come running down the hall, or, you know, that amazed her that I, you know,
was just telling it
it was an everyday occurrence, you know.
Right. Now, Joan Rivers, the late Joan Rivers, one of the greatest comedians of the last century, she moved into a New York apartment on the top floor of a building, and J.P. Morgan's daughter had been in that suite, and J.P. Morgan's daughter made it impossible for her to live in there because it was haunted. So Joan Rivers, a psychic, to come in and talk to the spirit and try to get the spirit to lay off and let Joan live there in peace, which happened. But Joan Rivers said that every night at 3 o'clock, she saw the ghost of this lady who was happy. Joan had found a photograph of the lady and had put it up in the lobby of this old brownstone building, and which had, I think it had about 7 or 8 apartments. And she put the lady's picture in the hallway, and for some reason that seemed to make the spirit less agitated. And she said every night for the rest of her life, this spirit, this lady came to her. She felt her brush by, and she just disappeared. She basically appeared in the room and disappeared through a wall. So it's not, I mean, while it's uncommon, it's not absolutely abnormal for people to have experiences like this. I mean, I think I'm with your sister. I would have been terrified if I'd seen this the first time. And so anyway, did your brother, and to close my first round of questioning, did your brother ever discuss or have this lady appear to him?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know that I've ever had this conversation with him. you know, he may have been when I was having the conversation with my sister, but I don't recall. I want to say that he might have been there, and he said he never experienced that. So I don't, again, but I'm dragging up memories. I don't know. It was a Thanksgiving or, you know, something 4, 5, 8, maybe 10 years ago. It's hard to know.
Okay. And did you ever tell your parents about this?
I don't think I did tell my parents. They could have been there during that conversation with my sister. But I mean, it was, you know, it was one of those things. It's like, you know, you get to be an adult and then you tell your parents dumb things you did as a teenager or preteen, you know, or sometimes I tend to not tell all my stories because I don't want to shock and awe my parents. They saw pretty much of the shock and awe firsthand without me having to tell them stories.
Right. Okay. Well, look, this has been a very interesting story. Kyler, do you have some questions for Marshall?
Well, I agree with John. Like, I would be probably freaking out. The first thing I thought of when you said that was that movie. When the kid sees dead people walking around, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was
talking about the sixth.
Okay. And you just, you were just completely like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it was, again, I always thought that that was very strange to me, is that I it was not a menacing image to me. I mean, it was almost as if I knew her and I knew she was there to protect me. It was almost like an instinctive knowledge that, you know, I was never frightened whatsoever.
Okay, so then when you say that, my next question would be body language. Do you remember anything about her body language? Because sometimes, like, when we're in the dark and we see other beings or other people next to us, their body language gives off a lot of their intention without them even saying anything. So I wonder if she was just, like, giving you that calm feeling just by the way she was walking or standing.
Yeah, she would come in. She wouldn't stop. She would just come in. So my wall was probably 12 feet from the entrance door off of the hall the hallway upstairs to walk in to where my bathroom door was. And so she would walk by and she would look at me in the bed. Not stop, but she, you know, it wasn't fast, it wasn't slow, it was just like at a regular pace. It was like she was just walking in, she would look at me, and then she would turn back, and then she would go through the bathroom door, and it was, you know, it probably lasted 5 seconds or something like that, but it was almost every night of my childhood that I spent, you know, in that bedroom.
That's incredible.
Now, Marshall, about how old were you when these occurrences stopped?
I'm trying to think. I lived in that house until I was 1987. So probably 18. So probably 14 years of my life.
My Lord. I guess you got used to it.
Yeah, it never, you know, it was never anything that, to me, it was a norm, you know. I can tell you that sometimes it would, you know, I mean, you lay there, you're in the dark, you can't go to sleep or you can go to sleep. I could never go to sleep until she came. It was one of those things. So, you know, and again, it different times and, you know, different moments. So, you know, it might be that I would sit there. It was just one of those things. And I don't know whether it was something soothing my mind and making me calm. But anyway, very interesting thing.
Well, it was. Now, Dr. Trey Dunaway, do you have a question or two for Marshall? I think this is really kind of an interesting story.
Of course, my question would be, did your brother ever see somebody coming through the Jack and Jill door in his room after she passed through your room and out? I think that's a conversation maybe you ought to have with your brother.
Yeah.
Sometime.
Yeah, I think so. I talk to him every now and then. Not much, but I will. I'll ask him.
As far as not talking to anybody about it, I think that's probably a precursor to becoming an attorney. That was simply attorney ghost privilege, where you're not going to be talking to, you're not going to be sharing information about that, those privy conversations or experiences you had with other people.
I love it, Dr. Craig. That's great stuff. I love it. Yeah, I think that's it. That's it. I'll have that conversation.
Great. And if it would be possible, I would like to come visit that bedroom of yours and take a couple of pictures of the door into it and then the door to the to that bathroom suite. I would like to do that. And I think these would be great pictures for the website, because it would let people understand kind of how it was set up. And we could kind of see her traversal through your room. I mean, I think it'd be really cool.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. We'll go by. My mom would get a kick out of that. So.
Yeah, okay. I'll do my best not to scare her, okay?
Nah, you'll be good. Listen, you'll love my parents. They're very down to earth.
Yeah, and I've got one other thing to say. Kevin Holland talked about this one lady who spoke to him very softly as she was there, and he thought these were real live ladies who were friends of his grandmother's. And he didn't realize until about a year later that she didn't know these ladies. And so Kevin said that occasionally this one lady would bring him a toy that he actually had, and it was a physical thing. And he said that he knows that he has got one of these. It's like a Hot Wheels knockoff. And I said, would you please get that and get the serial number on that? Because I would like to see if we could track the serial number down for that toy and see if we could find out anything about where it was manufactured or whatever. Because I find it just incredible that a ghost could hand a young boy a toy. It's not like a Santa Claus thing that, it's some thing that they made in the wood shop. I mean, this is like, kind of an incredible thing, and it gives a lot of reality. It gives us a real reality check of what's going on. So, I mean, I think it's just amazing. So, Kyler, do you have one more comment? And then Dr. Trey, and then I'll see if Marshall's got anything else for us as we're on the eve of the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So, Kyler, do you have another question for Marshall?
I would say, I don't think question, no. More of them, I'd just like to see if your brother saw anything, and if he did. I feel like I have so many questions for your entire family. Like, there's no way that you were the only – I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it's possible that you were the only one that saw her there, which would be really, really cool. But I'm really curious to see if anyone else has seen it in your family, and then if anyone else that's lived in the house before has also seen them.
Yeah, I'll ask my mom, because she grew up in that house from middle school on, and then I was the only one that had lived in that house my whole life. My brother and sister, they lived in a different house with my parents over on the other side of Conway. But, I'll ask my mom, because that would have been my mom, my aunt, my uncle, and then my grandparents, her mom and dad. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I'll talk to her about that and see if anybody else maybe in the house ever saw or considered that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Right. Well, thank you. And one thing is, when you do, and once I get a chance to come up to the house with you, we'd like to have you back on Thursday night on the actual Growing Up Haunted show to give us a recap of what you found out. I think it's highly interesting. Trey, do you have anything else to ask Marshall?
Well, it's not so much about Marshall, John. It's more about the Growing Up Haunted. Are children more or less likely to see a spectral figure, a ghost, a psychic phenomenon? And certainly, you know, I was a psychology major, and I did a paper in child psychology. I used to also do magic, regular stage magic kind of thing, close-up magic. And children, young children, are very accepting of magic. They're not as surprised because their relationship with the world, when you look at Piaget's development stages, they are not surprised by magic because they don't know what appears to be magic to an adult or an older child. They don't have enough experience with reality to know what they're seeing is impossible. So the question is that our younger children, this is something to explore, I think, with your Growing Up Haunted crowd, are younger children more likely to see things that they can't explain but are much more accepting? If you started seeing this when you were four, Marshall, you just might have thought this is the way it was. And I know in listening to Robin didn't know what she was experiencing was abnormal because to her, it was normal. It was just the way the world was. So I think that's just something to consider as you explore childhood hauntings and children's experiences with hauntings, what that perception of their reality is and if they consider it abnormal. Because Marshall, very well, as a four-year-old, you might have considered this was just, it never was abnormal to you.
Yeah, just normalcy, you know?
Yeah, it's just the way it was. I mean, it's just when you were going to sleep. The question I also do have, you said your mom grew up in that house. Was this ever her bedroom? Was there anyone in that bedroom when she was growing up?
You know, I don't know whose bedroom that was, but I'll ask her. I think when you and I go by there to do that, I'd love for you to talk to her about the house and about maybe some of those things that might be good. She's got great information about, you know, her family and her grandmother and that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's certainly lots of time and energy and experience there in and around the Conway area. So,
well, you know, you're talking about a house that's been there about 86 years, and it has had time to gain some experience, some spirits, or whatever. So, I mean, I just think it's really interesting. So we will schedule that after the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, which I did want to make a note of that. And Marshall, thank you for that story, and thanks. I'm looking forward to the wrap-up of this, and we'll get you back on to Growing Up Haunted, which is going to be on Thursday, and we might do a whole episode or split an episode with you and someone else. But number one, I'm very interested in the fact that every one of the specters that I've seen, three in a row, they all have on black and white clothes. And I will say this, me and a couple of my students, we went down south of Conway on 701, and Marshall, you probably know where that is. There's a fire station, what, maybe 6 or 7 miles out of town, right? Do you
that's
know
right.
about where that is? And that's
it is. It's at the end of Bucksville Road, where Bucksville Road comes back into 701 South, right before you get to Bucksport.
Right, and what happened is we saw we drove down there and we didn't see anything. And then we came back and all of a sudden there was a young girl standing like right next to the road. I mean, there wasn't any, we had gone by there and maybe 60 seconds later we had come back. Is there she was. Now she was dressed in 70s style hippie clothing. And I remember she had on a red hat. And that was very interesting because we all saw, and I asked the students because there were some legend down there about a crying baby on a bridge, and so we couldn't find it. So we come back, and there she is. And so I immediately turned around and came back, and there she was again. And one of the young men in the car said, we need to stop off and see if we can help her because she shouldn't be out here by herself at night. I said, well, you're right. I mean, I just wanted to, first of all, make sure that she was a real entity that we saw and not just a figment of our, not like a group hallucination. So I turned around and a minute later, she was gone. Now we got out of the car and it was probably like, 200 feet before you could get to any woods or any buildings. And she couldn't have gone that far. She in the less than 1 minute that it was to go back, turn around and come back up. So we saw her in colored attire. It was red and yellow. It was like red and purple, and it was, you know, hippie stuff. It was really cool, but and she definitely had a look of that 70s kind of thing going on with big curly hair and the hat. And I mean, it was just very strange. So that I do have an instance where we saw a ghost with colored clothes, not just black and white like we'd had three instances of. So I just wanted to get that out and get that marked on this show so that when people listen to this, we're going to put this up as a Scary Cast episode and also as a Growing Up Haunted episode because I think it's a great story. So anyway, Marshall, we'll go by your parents' house when we get done with Georgia Bigfoot Conference. It will be a pleasure meeting your mother. I can't wait to see the bedroom and the Jack and Jill suite and take some pictures for our website and enjoy this little bit of a spiritual and little bit of an eerie occurrence of the lady in the bedroom. And that's what we'll call this episode, The Lady in the Bedroom. And so, Marshall, I want to thank you very much for being here tonight with us on Scary Cast. And I'll say that this weekend, April 1st, is the Georgia Bigfoot Conference in Dillard, Georgia, and right up the northernmost part of the Georgia line, right before it goes into North Carolina. We've already sold about 350 tickets. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're listening, you can buy tickets online at georgiabigfootconference.org. Come and join us. Get a ticket before they sell out now. And that's what the Chamber of Commerce is telling everybody. And so is the city of Dillard. They are looking forward to having this event there. I expect we'll have 600 people there. And Dr. Trey, we had 400 people there last year, and the place was pretty packed, wasn't it?
Did we lose him?
We might have lost him. I'll check. But anyway, so I think we did have about 400 there last time, but we're almost there in ticket sales now. So anyway, wanted to say thanks a lot, Marshall, for being here. Thanks a lot, Kyler, for being here. It was a lot of fun. And we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, on Scarycast. And we'll do a report from the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. We'll have Robin on, and we'll have her husband, Pat, and we'll have them talk about what they discussed at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. It'll be a lot of fun. So, look, everybody, thanks. Have a great one. And we'll see you next time. And come join us at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference this weekend, April 1st, 2023. At the Dillard House in Dillard, Georgia. Thanks a lot, and everybody say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, John. Night. Thank you, guys.